We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You know, one of the things that just blows my mind is how we've done this for so many years. People come here illegally. They go to court and, well, let me rephrase that. They're summoned to court. And in many cases, they never show up, and they just disappear. Trump administration trying to fast-track deportations. And I know there are people who think this is just absolutely cruel. We'll talk about this in just a bit. Let's go out to a call first from Joe in Charlotte. Good morning.
Good morning. Very quickly, the city councilman offered a lot of great commentary in reference to his view of not only what President Trump said, but his view of the four congresswomen. And with that context, would he apply that also to those here in the South that support the flying and wearing and adherence to the Confederate flag?
That's a good question. You'll have to raise that question with him.
Well, what would be your perspective?
On what specifically?
I just said.
You got it. Well, you have to be specific where and whom and all of those things.
Okay, I'm about to do that. Send them back home. Many Republican politicians said that it was very abhorrent that they would even recognize the flag of their other country and how it was disrespectful and un-American. Well, with that being said, and he gave context to how many Mexican Americans will wear or fly or show adherence to
right.
the Mexican flag.
Right.
So for those that do it for the Confederate flag, which is not a part of the United States, what do you say to them?
Is this a similar form of disloyalty, or is that the question you're raising here?
Well, wouldn't it be? Because weren't they disloyal to the United States?
That's an interesting question, isn't it?
Well, I mean, history shows that they were. I mean, Robert E. Lee was the president of the Confederacy of America. That is not the United States.
Actually, Jefferson Davis had that title. But
here's my
so you're raising the question. So I guess you're making the argument here that in the same way that a person would look at disdain on people raising the Mexican flag, That same disdain ought to be shown for people who raise the Confederate flag.
Well, that would make us that would not have us to be hypocritical.
You think that would be consistent? That would be an interesting. I think that's a pretty consistent position. I would love to get some reaction from people on the those who favor expressions of this flag. That's a great argument. I've never heard this one before, Joe. You get the prize for creative idea of the day. Seriously, I want to hear from somebody on this because he raises an interesting point. A very interesting point. You know, if you were defending the Confederate flag, but you're condemning people for raising the Mexican flag, or vice versa, is that consistent? Wow. Jimmy, out of Easley, good morning.
Hey, Vince. I always see, now me, you talked about this before. I'm full-blooded Cherokee. And all this stuff, special rights and racism, a lot of my friends are black, but I'm darker than they are, so I tell them, I say, don't come here with that. You're not even hardly a shade darker than I am. If you get my point.
So what? How do you see all of this conversation taking place right now?
Well, here's the problem. I work with young kids too. I mean, in my spare time, and if you're putting a lot of fear, and I have seen so much racism in blacks as well. This is not no one thing. And I teach my all the kids, I said, look, you're a human being. What color you are on the outside, people don't look at that. And hopefully they don't do that anymore. My friends don't do that. The last generation of people I hang around with, they don't do that. But there's a certain number of whites and a certain number of blacks. It's always stirring this pot. Always stirring this pot. And the danger is these kids, particularly in low-income things, they put in danger because these people keep stirring race, what I call racism. It's both of them going at stuff that it ain't really true. It ain't true. I mean, let's say I'm a Chevrolet, you a Ford. We still do the same thing. We still got a motor.
That's pretty good. I like that. Different brands, Chevrolet and Ford, although there are people who are purists in one area or another, and they might beg to differ with you on this. Great to hear from you again, Jimmy. Stanley out of Clover, good morning.
Hey, Vince, how are you this morning?
Doing well, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on the guest who was talking about the empathy with the Democrats and the logic with Republicans. First, with the Republicans, just because they are logical doesn't mean they don't have empathy. I think that's a perception because you would call yourself a conservative, but yet you have empathy for the poor. I just happen to believe the poor would have more if the free market controlled the prices of products and services than if the government did.
Oh, I agree with that, too. I agree with that, too, Stanley.
It's a perception on their part, not actually a reality.
Let me just say this, though. Based on what I've been watching for the last 2 years, Stanley, it's reality. In terms of it's very, I know it's very dangerous to do generalities, but the Republican Party has definitely shown that it is more on the side of the logic and the analytical and the facts and the information than on the empathy side. There's no question about that at all to me.
You went to the next point, though. See, when you talk about both parties, there's a difference in the rank and file in the political class of both.
Yes, I agree.
The Democratic people who I know as friends, they are empathetic. But the Clintons, the Obamas, the Donalds, they don't care about the poor at all.
Oh, exactly. Oh, I agree. I think when you get into the political class, you can throw out empathy altogether. Just throw it out. For both parties, there's not much empathy at all. There's just the acquisition of power. That's all that matters.
Thank you, Vince. You have a good day.
I think we ended on the same page. See, and I think that's where the difficulty is. And I think, let me just say this. If those of us who are just regular citizens, I think if we engage, and I think going back to the conversation with Tark Bakari last hour, that I think if we begin taking leadership on this and stop looking to these so-called leaders to do things like this for us, we would be much better off. Because I think most of these folks are driven by self-interest. They're going to be on the stage for a while. They're going to disappear. We're the ones who are going to deal with the consequences of this. Coming up, we're going to talk about this fast-track deportation process. Boy, this has really gotten people all worked up. You'll understand why as we continue our broadcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Plans to extend the power immigration officers have to deport migrants before they appear at court. Oh my goodness. How dare they do that? This means less time for migrants in detention while cases wind their way through the legal system. Who's complaining about this? Anybody in studio want to guess? Who is at the top of the list complaining about it? The Anti-Christian Lawyers Union. ACLU. American Civil Liberties Union. And the American Immigration Council. promising they're going to block to sue this policy. That's supposed to start today. Fast-track critics insist the policy grants too much power to immigration agents and U.S. Customs and Border Protection officials. This is the second major shift in policy. Following an unprecedented surge of families from Central America's northern triangle of Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. By the way, I need to share with you a post, and this again gets into that empathy category. See, and one of the problems with empathy, when you don't have facts to go along with it, you end up with stupidity, and you end up with unwise decisions that are really not well thought through. A family friend posted this, and I just came across this a few minutes ago, and I've seen this several times, and it really nauseated me. And it has a marquee, this is from a church, St. Mark Presbyterian Church. And it has in the marquee, a caravan of 5,000 migrants confronted Jesus. He fed them. Matthew 14:13-21. Anybody in studio want to tell me what's wrong with this? A caravan of 5,000 migrants confronted Jesus. He fed them. What's the immediate problem you think of? You know the point they're trying to make here.
You mean aside from the fact that he was preaching a sermon and they all came to hear him?
Yeah, that's the other part.
With the loaves, that was the loaves and the fishes, wasn't it?
Yes, and the other part about this
is...
By the way,
that was only the men in the count.
Well, and the other thing that has to be considered here is Jesus. So you advocate... Here's my next question. If you want to go down this road, you liberals who promote this kind of claptrap on... social media, do you then favor the United States of America being a theocracy? Is that what you're advocating? Because if you want to go down that road, let's have that conversation. I mean, that's what cracks me up. You know, when I see people post these things too about, you know, the way we're supposed to treat, what is the word that is used for them? The foreigner and the person who is a migrant. The scripture has very specific things to say about it. And I would remind you again, God was speaking to a theocracy, Israel. So if you want to apply everything that the scripture said about Israel, let's bring in all of those scriptures from the Old Testament and operate a theocracy. Oh, no, we don't want to go there. Well, don't cherry pick the scriptures and try to find things and justify your political positions.
But Vince, he was born homeless to an unwed mother.
Yes, right. My goodness. What are we going to do with you? Yeah, I remember Jesse Jackson spewing that stuff at one point. Let us go out to hit the wrong line here. Let's try Jesse. Good morning, Jesse.
Vince, thanks for taking my call. I have traveled to numerous countries and have been required to have the proper paperwork at the border of entry every single time. And if those papers are out of order in any way, the agent at the border is the judge and jury and executioner. He decides whether or not I come or whether or not I go back.
Yep, and pretty simple.
Very simple. I support that. Same thing with going to Australia. You fly in, worked over there before, and you're just picking up some tools you left over. You get deported, no questions asked. That's it.
Yeah.
You know,
the other thing, I just think about this, Jesse. Now that you mentioned this, it reminds me a few months ago, my last time out of the country, I went to Dominican Republic at the end of the year, fortunately before all of this concern about people dying over there. And one of the things that was striking, as I think about it now, that was a good 2 hours of my time that I spent in line just to get into the country. I mean, I went legitimately. I flew there on an airplane. I did not cross the border illegally. I had to stand in line. I burned 2 hours of my time standing in a line.
And anybody who travels overseas risks immediate departure or deportation for any reason that the agent determines.
Yes. Yes, this is not some hard-nosed policy we're talking about here. All you have to do is watch what other countries do. And I'm not saying advocating we do necessarily what these other countries are doing, but I am saying that there is a price for just doing things legally. That's all we're asking for, right? Legal immigration, it's really not asking for a lot, especially for those of us who are carrying the freight here. Let's go out to York and Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Vince. Thank you very much. I'm a Christian, and I read the Bible every once in a while. And the thing about acting on emotions, which is empathy, is according to God, the heart above all is deceptively wicked. And the Democratic Party, for some reason, has chose empathy and sympathy and all that kind of crap instead of logic and common sense. This country was built on common sense. And I love my country. And as far as opportunities, George Washington Carver, a black man, was a good scientist, and he invented a lot of stuff. So I don't want to hear any crap because I'm black. I can't do it. You can do anything you want in this country if you're an American citizen and you love your country.
Well, let me back up here a little bit, Joe, because I see, and I think there's an important distinction to be made between emotionalism and empathy. Because those are two very different things, and I want to make that very clear. Okay. For instance, I would say that Jesus is empathetic. I would not say that he was emotional. I think that's a very important distinction. And I think this is part of what made his ministry so successful is the fact that what did he do? He identified with us as human beings. That's empathy. Right. That does not mean that there's some emotional thing that's driving him that causes him, oh, you poor thing, you poor sinner. I mean, I don't think that's what was in his mind at all. And he didn't pander. And I think I think pity is a very different thing from empathy. That cannot be forgotten either. Good to hear from you, Joe, and you make a very important point. Coming up, we still have a look at the day in history. We'll take more of your calls as well. Stay with us.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, I've got to take this call because it's a response to a conversation we had from another Joe raising the question, if we don't take too kindly to people raising the Mexican flag, how does that differ from someone raising the Confederate flag? Joe would like to tackle this one. Good morning, Joe.
Hello, Vince. Good to talk to you. Remember now, it was the Confederate States of Americans. The Southern forces were all Americans. We chose to secede from the United States, but we were still in the Confederate States of America. So that any Confederate flag is an American flag from that period of the South. So it's not a foreign flag. It is still, we are still part of the southern part of America.
So for that reason, you don't think this is disloyal to wave that flag today?
No, normally if it wasn't storming, I'd have mine out. I just pulled it in sometimes when they say they're going to have a storm so it doesn't get beat up. I've got it in the living room on my refrigerator. I put it out on the wall. I'm a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, so I've got it on my tag. So, no, I display it everywhere. I'll never be ashamed of my flag. I had a great-great-grandfather in the 30th North Carolina and one in the 49th North Carolina. So no, it is not disloyal. It's a symbol of the South.
What do you say to those people who contend that this flag is racist?
Well, have you ever seen a Ku Klux Klan rally? They also carry the Christian flag, and they carry the U.S. flag. And I assume you know that Colin Kaepernick does not like the Betsy Ross flag, and Nike pulled it off the shoes. They're somewhere else where they don't want people saying the word Americans anymore, because that's going to hurt the feelings of the foreigners. So how far do y'all want to carry this?
No, I'm just asking you a question. I'm asking your response to the person who is concerned that it might be racist.
Well, some people used it in that form. The Confederate battle flag is probably the one you're talking about. It was designed only to mark our troops in battle, because the First National, which is basically the Georgia state flag now, did look too much like the U.S. flag in the smoke. So we designed the battle flag just for our troops. People have used it for plenty of wrong reasons in the past.
Okay. Fair enough. Great to talk with you there, Joe. We'll get to more of your calls here in a bit. I want to share this as well. Some observations about the year 2020. This is actually, believe it or not, something from a mainstream media publication. And it's raising the issue, the possibility, that President Trump's Electoral College edge could actually grow in 2020. First item, Democrats may very well win the popular vote and lose the Electoral College. Can you imagine they would be fit to be tied again? How dare they? You know, then you'll see an increased push to get rid of the Electoral College. They will really step it up then. Number two, Trump's campaign has been smart to focus on battleground states where he maintains an advantage. Three, despite his national average, Trump's approval rating is slightly higher in key states necessary to win the Electoral College. Four, Trump's re-election will also likely yield congressional successes for the NRCC. It's focused with surgical precision on regaining some of the seats lost in 2018, and with Trump on the ballot, they might very well do that. Also, this would decrease Pelosi's majority if she doesn't lose it outright, and make moderate Dems more careful with how they vote, making it harder for Dems to coalesce around certain issues. New York Times with these observations. Surprised, aren't you? But there are always fake news. I'll bet you won't say that now. I want to play a little audio from AOC. Do you remember AOC? And she made some comments the other day. And this is kind of a hodgepodge montage of comments in response to those who've suggested that all of these four women, you know, what did we start calling them again? They call themselves the squad. I call them the squatters. Yeah, this is a response to a number of things that AOC has had coming at her, not just her, but all of these women. And, you know, they pretty much made it clear that they're going to be with us no matter what. They're into this battle for the long haul, and it's not surprising. Are we ready to listen to these great, brilliant minds?
Whenever you're ready.
Let's listen to AOC and her response.
Because once you start telling American citizens to, quote, go back to your own countries, this tells you that this president's policies are not about immigration. It's about ethnicity and racism. That was his biggest mistake. Because we know that he's been thinking this the entire time. But he's been keeping it in here. And this week, it went out here. When he started telling American citizens, where are we gonna go? We're gonna stay right here. That's where we're gonna go. We're not going anywhere. Men like him have been telling women like me to go back to my own country for a long time. It's not a new thing, but what is hurtful is that when he, as an elected leader in the United States, does that with thousands of people, he is putting millions of Americans in danger. That's what the real problem is. It's not about me or my safety. It's the fact of what he's telling every person in this room and in rooms like this across the country. He said, oh, I stopped it immediately. Roll the tape. He didn't. He kind of presided over the situation. He relished it. He took it in. And he's doing this intentionally. I do think it's important that with that chance, what he told this country is that he doesn't want to be president anymore, because he wants to pick and choose who he is a president to. And that's not a president. We do not have to acquiesce to the president's racism, because he is using racism. He is stoking white supremacy. And he is allowed.
Is she done yet? Just thought you need some comic relief. AOC, ladies and gentlemen.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Back on the Vince Coakley radio program, and we played some AOC. You know, this, you want to talk about comments that will really cause you to scratch your head, or, I don't know, maybe more. Maybe your head will explode. Representative Elijah Cummings, the guy who never looks like he smiles, ever, out of Maryland, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, he objected to President Trump's latest tweet about these four members of Congress. He called them some of the most brilliant young people that I've met. Exactly. Isn't that scary? Some of the most brilliant young people that he's met. That's scary. That is really scary. I figured you would find that entertaining. We'll try to very quickly get to some of your calls before we take a look at the day in history, beginning with Tom in Fort Mill. Good morning, Tom. Good morning. Are you there? Going once? Going twice? Let us try Jerry in Spartanburg. Good morning. I think we're having some phone issues yet again. Let us see what is happening here. I believe we have lost it. We're going to try to work on this in the meantime. Let's take a look at the day in history as we travel down I-85 to our upstate studio. And Mr. Reitzel is going to answer four questions for us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I don't know how I would characterize the difficulty of these, but hopefully my clues will be somewhat helpful. 1865, William Booth founded this Christian organization, which has kind of a military concept behind it. What is it?
Salvation Army.
Salvation Army is correct. 1868, very timely in light of our discussion today. The 14th Amendment is ratified, 1868. Remember the time period we're dealing with. It grants citizenship to this particular group. What is that group? 1868.
Man, I don't know.
1868.
I know what was you going keep saying.
What was going on around that time period and about what? Any guesses in studio here? 1868, 14th Amendment. Who did it give citizenship to? That I will give you that. This is African Americans to blacks in 1868. 1995, we came to know who these people are, I think, later on. A new comet was named after them, and later a bizarre mass suicide took place with people. What was the name of this comet?
See, I want to say Halley's Comet, but I know that's not it.
Two names named after two people. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Alan Hale, Thomas Bopp. The Hale-Bopp Comet.
Would you have known the answer to that question?
I remember that because of those crazy people who killed themselves later on. It's kind of a bizarre story. 2011, it's hard to believe it's been this long, 8 years ago. This person, very famous singer, I do not remember the name of the group that she was with. She passed away. Very tragic. I believe it's the result of drugs. Who was it? 2011. I know it kind of...
Yeah, that's not much of a hint. It really
what
isn't.
Is the name? Is it Black something? What is the name of the group? I cannot believe I don't remember the name of the group that she was with.
Lopez.
No, it is Amy Winehouse.
Yeah. Oh, she wasn't in a group, was she?
There was a group I think she was associated with, but...
You would have said Rehab, I would have known.
Rehab. Yeah. All right. See, I bombed out on giving clues.
See, now I'm going to look it up because I didn't think she was actually in a band, but we'll see.
Okay.
I think that's fake news. I think you were leading me astray.
On the lighter side, in fact, this may be much more important depending on your culinary interests. Did you hear about the Today Show recognizing a local ice cream shop as one of the absolute best in the country? The name of the place, Molly and Miles, North Pleasantburg Drive in Greenville. On the list of 17 ice cream parlors and shops from around the country. Have you been to this place, Lonzo?
I have not. I don't really eat a lot of ice cream.
The entry described Molly and Miles as not your mom's ice cream parlor. The chef-driven establishment from Greenville's self-proclaimed weirdest family has been described as if Willy Wonka was tossed in a tornado with the Avengers on a Star Wars movie set. That's kind of intriguing, huh?
All right, now I want to go.
Today also highlighted its cereal-inspired cones, asking if you've never eaten ice cream out of a Fruity Pebbles bowl, are you really living? This place opened last year, by the way. It's the second location of the fun ice cream concept. The first is actually in Chicago. So maybe we'll check it out. By the way, I'm going to be there in a couple of weeks. So maybe we can check this place out. You like that idea? It's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd be willing to go there with you.
We'll go in your super sports car.
You mean you just want me to drive you up in style?
Yeah, there you go. That's it. Great to talk to you there, Lonzo.
See ya.
By the way, over on the text line, morning, Mr. Vince, you need to move to South Carolina. Just saying. Is that complimentary or is that trying to get me out of Charlotte? I'm kind of curious. Yeah, go back to where you came. Well, I'm not from there. That's the only thing. This person saying, love that ice cream shop. It has a comic book theme. It's great. Yeah, I'll have to check this out when I'm there in a couple of weeks. Another person saying here, AOC needs to go back to the bar, a reference to her bartender days. Is there a reason AOC talks like a darn 9-year-old? Good question. By the way, did you hear the story about that little girl who has that really good impersonation she does of AOC? Her family's getting death threats. Seriously. Because this little girl's making fun of AOC. What is wrong with us? You know, people making death threats over a little girl. Come on. Oh, it's kind of scary. Another person would like to know who gives a crap about AOC. Go back to Brooklyn. Why were you snoring and mocking what AOC said? She's just preaching the same gospel as you. Really? Mark saying we look a lot alike. Yeah, that's funny. You know, it's scary. Oh, my goodness. I think that's about all we have time for in terms of the text line. Nonetheless, we will be back at the same time tomorrow, Lord willing, and we appreciate your participation with us. In the meantime, have yourselves a great day, a safe day. God bless you. Take care.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.